This is Phil Farron. And I am walking around. Obviously, I'm not driving. And I'll explain that in a minute. I will also say that this is take two. And unfortunately, I didn't realize my mistake regarding take one until I was halfway finished with it, which means I'd already walked all the way down to the bridge. And then I realized I hadn't put the dead kitten filter. I'm going to turn this around. Sorry. I hadn't put the dead kitten filter on it. Which means that all the wind gusts and everything, I didn't listen to it. That it was just going to be all distorted and it was going to be bad. So at one point I just stopped talking and walked back home, got the dead kitten filter, put the dead kitten filter on, started this back up again so that it was possible even to listen to. And I haven't used the dead kitten filter on this particular recorder that many times, but this isn't the first time, therefore we're going to trust that this is going to work great. So anyways, it's been an interesting week. I am walking around. That was because there was some work that's being done on the building where I work, and there was going to be a lot of jackhammering and drilling just outside our offices, and our boss said, you know what, everybody's working from home next week. It also happens to be General Council Week for the Assemblies of God, which means that half the building is gone, if not more, out to Orlando, Florida, where they hold the general councils. It's a little easier to modify how we get things done. So it's been a good week as far as work goes. It's one of those weeks that proved my initial conception that if I would reduce my hours to 16 hours a week, I could pretty much get that done under any circumstances from anywhere. And I'll explore that more in just a minute. So, in terms of weird circumstances this week, my voice is a little rough because I am recovering from COVID. We had a situation, and this is not unexpected, because our renter is a fine young man named Dustin Owens. He is studying to be an EMT. Well, he is an EMT. He's studying to be a paramedic and more. Paramedic is the next step, though. Well, lands a mighty, he's going to be right in the thick of, he's working a truck now, so he's going to be right in the thick of it, of people being sick, and just inevitably he's going to catch stuff. So, and since we helped take care of his little guy to kind of cover the gaps in the healthcare systems, and the child care systems in America, with him having a little guy as well, it's sooner or later you're going to catch something. And so I kind of knew that was coming. Well, I had seen that COVID was going around, and I was thinking, okay, well, let's see what happens here. And they supposedly described this as the symptom that seems to stand out as razor blades in the throat. And I'm like, that doesn't sound very good. And in fact, yesterday I had gone into Walmart to pick up some more Robitussin, because I like to keep my lungs cleared out with expectorant so things don't have a tendency to kind of gang up. And I saw one of my friends in there. I said, how you doing today? And I was actually wearing a mask, and he kind of turned around, looked at me, and I said, yeah. And I said, I'm recovering. So I said, I'm wearing a mask, I don't want to infect people. And he said, oh, what, a cold? I said, nope. And he's flu? Nope. COVID. Oh, and he kind of backed up a couple of steps, and then he laughed. He said, I've already had it. I said, well, you know, it hasn't been too bad. And he kind of looked at me and tilted his head to the side. Said, it hasn't? I said, no. I said, it's basically, this is day 4 or day 5, depending on when I start counting the symptoms. And I feel like I'm climbing out and, you know, things are good. And he kind of looked at me and said, what? And I said, well, I said, I have a secret weapon. And he said, what's that? I said, ivermectin. And he went, well, that's cheating. I said, well, it works, buddy. It works. Which, again, this whole thing is so ridiculous. Ivermectin should be available over the counter. You should just be able to go down and get it when you get any kind of a parasite or infection or... But you know. So anyways, that's basically my latest COVID story. I felt like I was coming down with something Thursday, Friday-ish of last week, but it got masked in the middle of an experiment I was running. So first of all, Dustin had gotten exposed to some kind of a flu something that it really clogged up his chest and it made it very difficult to swallow. And he was really struggling. And we were trying to figure out, what in the world is this? Is it viral, you know? Is it bacteriological? Has he, in the process of coughing, has he ruptured something? And well, that started settling down and we were like, okay, great, you know? And then he comes down with, you know, he's starting to spike fevers and stuff. And it's like, what in the world? And he loses his sense of smell. And we're like, ah, okay. Okay, so he apparently got a secondary infection somewhere along the line from something. Of course, he didn't know that. We didn't know that. So I picked up that secondary infection from him. So the first I knew of anything, really, really, that was sickness was Saturday night. I spiked a fever Saturday night. It was just 99, not bad, but then an hour later, it was 100. I was like, uh-oh. So I called, they found another person to run sound for me, rested up on Sunday, you know, Monday. Of course, I immediately started on the ivermectin, and it's Thursday today, so you know, I felt pretty good yesterday. I felt pretty good today most of the day. I mean, it comes, you know, kind of comes and goes. But I'll hit the ivermectin again today, and that will be 5 days. I might go one more day and then just coast myself out of it. But like I said, all in all, not too bad. But even Delta, which was bad, even Delta was really just kind of like a bad cold for me because I was on ivermectin. And it was about 5 days. Now, the fatigue afterwards took about 2.5 months to get over. And the cold sweats took about 2.5 months to get over. So my whole energy subsystem in my body, it took a while to get all that stuff cleared out. But from what I understand about ivermectin, it's good for that as well. So, you know, if I have any kind of fatigue issues after a couple of days, I'm gonna see if I can get a new prescription of ivermectin from somebody. Because the stuff that I have is actually from 2021. Still seems to be working, but, you know, the drug companies will tell you, oh yeah, they said that the half-life on ivermectin is 3 years. So it's all the stuff I have should only be half as effective. Well, so I just gave myself a little more dosage and ta-da-ta-da-ta-da. So we had that going on this week. Then in addition to that, I had mentioned that on the last podcast, that weekend before last, that my wife took a tumble in the hotel room and just put her scythe right into the pointy edge of an end table. And they had said, nope, nope, it's not broken. We took the x-rays, but if it starts hurting, just, you know, go to the emergency room. So yesterday was the day for that. She was going along just fine, and then all of a sudden, she just really was struggling to walk. She was really, you know, even with a cane, it really was hurting her. So we bundled her up and got her into the emergency room in the afternoon. And, you know, they did the CT scan and they did another x-ray and basically ended up said, nope, we don't see anything that's broken, but we're going to send you to the bone and joint doctors there at Cox. And so we did that this morning. Got down there first thing at 8 o'clock and got her checked out there. And the doctor looked at all the stuff. He said, yeah, I don't see anything. He said, but with hips, and there's like one spot in the hips, he said that it's, he said he'd seen it before, that you could have x-rays and CT scans and it just does not show up. So he has ordered an MRI for her, and they're gonna try with the MRI to figure out what's going on there. And if they get that figured out, then, you know, we'll know at least what we need to do. So we we've had definitely an interesting week of it, you know, with doctor's visits and all this, that, and the other. But despite all that, there's been enough extra time and enough extra cubby holes that I was able to get my laptop set up and get my phone set up and get some real work done and had some real meetings and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And so we're good. So I think, again, this week proved the premise that as long as I've got internet, I can get my work done from pretty much anywhere. So that's good. Although it's an interesting it's an interesting experience because it's a lot more switching. And the work, the consulting work for the tech stuff is a small, much smaller percentage of the overall work. And so, you know, mostly it's artistic stuff now and it's right brain stuff. And then every once in a while, I've just got to snap the switch over to the left side, left brain stuff, and get the analytical stuff going. But, you know, hey, that all seems to be working. So that's good. Writing is going fine. I'm still working along on chapter 23, book 23. And actually, I finished chapter 23. I'm on chapter 494 now. It did take a hit this week because my main writing day now is Mondays, but I got my 1,500 words in on Sunday, and then I was supposed to do 3,000 on Monday, and that's really the big battle day for COVID this week. And it's a little too much just sort of blankly staring into the void. But I'll get done what I can, and we're getting close, and if I can get within target range of 130,000 words by the end of this week, that's where we need to be. And then it's two more weeks to get up to approximately 150, and we're out. So, and I know pretty much where we're supposed to go at this point. So I think we're good. It is really interesting because I realized as I was thinking about book 23 and what it was supposed to be setting up in book 24, I realized that I was going to be able to lean into a specific viewpoint of God's relationship to us, because it will be book 24, and the events of book 24 will be profoundly different than anything we've experienced as human beings, and almost anything that the realmers, those who live in the realm for the millennium, would have experienced either. And that moment, when I realized that, I went, oh, wait a minute, because it will change the tone and the tenor of the way the righteous characters relate to the unrighteous. Which is very, very interesting. There is some of that tone in the first book of the Windfall series, which is set right at the beginning of the millennium. But in all of those cases, it is Jesus Christ and his bride who are expressing those types of sentiments, and I know I'm being vague, but sorry. But in this case, in book 24, it will fall to humans to make the declarations of sovereignty and judgment, etc., etc., etc. Whereas sometimes that, in our conditions, always has to be coached in terms of mercy. And I don't think I'll have to do that in book 24, which is fun. So that'll be fun. Anyway, so looking forward to that. Don't know exactly. I know what needs to happen. And I have plenty of material, but it's always a bit daunting when you start out facing the next 150,000 words and you just get started and you're looking at the word count and it's like 5,122 and you're thinking, okay, there's only 145,000 more words to go. But thankfully, at that point, I will have done this 23 times already, and I just need to do it once more. And there's plenty to write about. So, anyway, so that's good. Things are puttering along. Still working on Mr. Potato Head. I'm printing Mrs. Potato Head eyes right now. Putting the stuff together, I'm gluing, I'm working out the details of the engineering. That all seems to be going fine. So far, everything seems to be working out as expected. I have really one questionable area. And it has to do with the pegs that stick into Mr. Potato Head, the body. Because mostly those come from the front for the eyes and the nose and the mouth. On the sides, I'm going to open up the ones for the arms and just use them for my arms, so those aren't going to be in use. The ones for the legs, I've got to open up for my legs, so those aren't going to be in use. But there are going to be, there is going to be an opening on either side of the Mr. Potato shell for ears. And I think it'll be enough space. I think it's gonna be fine. But that may need some sort of creative solution. I really hope not. I really want to be able to use any piece that is a peg piece, you know, where you slip the peg in the hole, on any other hole on the whole model. Because that was always the fun for me of Mr. Potato Head, was just really rearrange and get kind of a cubist thing going. So, and I would imagine, because that's the plan. The plan is just to go say, Happy Potato Day, rearrange the face any way you want to, you know. Here's parts for Mrs. Potato Head, here's parts for Mr. Potato Head, do what you want. And it will be interesting to see what the interaction is like between the kind of purists who want everything in the right place, according to gender, and those who just want to mix things up. So, that's kind of my little experiment I'm running this time to see how much play there is. So we'll see. But that all is going fine. And I am getting tapped out here because one of the ways I knew this was COVID was the fatigue. And so this is the second round trip I've made down to the little bridge, because I knew the first one was going to have a horrible recording, and this may still have bad spots on it, but maybe it won't be continuous. Anyways, as far as things to talk about this week, I am convinced again that we have come to the place where there is such corruption in the world that it is possible to surmise almost anything and postulate that it has happened if you use the rule that, well, is it within the realm of possibility? Because frankly, with everything we've been through recently, in the last 5-6 years, well, now we're finding out in the last 9 years, back to 2016, 2015, in things that we just wouldn't have thought were possibilities, they in fact happened. So given that, if you hear some quote-unquote conspiracy theory, it's those things that you could say, oh, they would never do that. You just can't say that anymore. And I don't know ultimately what to think about someone like a Candace Owens, but she asked a lot of honest questions and she seems very sincere. And I don't know why it's so hard to answer her questions. And when she starts going down some of these things that we just thought were all given and done, getting my mail. And she starts pointing out some things about all of this. A lot of times you have to say, yeah. she was talking about Harvey Weinstein and how that, you know, he's been painted with this brush of just he's the horrible person and he's a monster and he's this, that, and the other. And she said, you know, they actually called her up and wanted to do an interview with her. So she had done her research. But she said the thing about it was this, everybody knew what Harvey Weinstein was doing. And everybody knew that was kind of a standard Hollywood thing, the casting couch was real. And he was just doing the kind of slimy guy thing. She said, but he wasn't necessarily raping women. She said, because some of his accusers had stayed with him for years. And so they have all kinds of ways to explain this, but she said, you look at the emails, you look at the text messages, but it just, at some point, someone decided that it was time for him to go. Well, why did they decide that it was time for him to go when there were other people who were similarly engaged? You know, I mean, it's just very interesting. You know, and she started talking about Ghislaine Maxwell and Jeffrey Epstein and all that kind of weird thing about that. She was talking about Michael Jackson. And that, yes, Michael Jackson lost his childhood, and so he was always trying to get that back. But, you know, there were others who spoke very highly of him, and yet they found a couple of people who were willing to testify. And they were, you know, she was pointing out some of the discrepancies and all that. And, you know, the world's just a very, very complicated place. And what she was on primarily on the Tucker Carlson show for was the fact that the president of France has now sued her because she picked up the work of journalists who have been working for years and years and years documenting the case against Brigitte, I think is her name, the prime minister's wife, that Brigitte may have been born a man. And I'm like, what? You know, what are we talking about here? But then, you know, she goes down the thing and starts talking about the fact that, you know, where are the pictures? Where are, you know, this? And I don't know. I don't know what the truth is. I have no idea. I do know this. As I have stressed before and will continue to stress over and over and over again, our lives need to be defined by a series of characteristics. And as long as we can tuck in underneath those characteristics, we're going to be fine. And obviously those characteristics are the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And if we're reading anything and we're allowing ourselves to get angry and out of control and dogmatic and finger-pointy and accusatory, we just need to stop and move ourselves back into the tent. Crawl back in the tent. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Get back in the tent, because if you want to be confused, there are 1,001 ways to be confused in this day and age. This is Phil Farron, and I have finished walking around.